Well, like we talked about, it is the almost the Christmas season. We're going to get into a hustle and bustle kind of life for the next month or so. And the one thing I do want to encourage everybody here is not to lose sight of what the season is about. It's about Jesus Christ. But I want to take that message out and I want to take it back to our spiritual lives. You know, we've talked about in the past few weeks ways that people have struggled to fill the void that is in their lives that exist without Jesus Christ. Some people want to do it through their feelings. You know, we talked about faith being necessary, and sometimes we don't feel saved. We don't feel like God loves us, but we know God's truth, and we need to rely on faith over feelings. We've talked about works. We've talked about how we can earn our way to heaven. Is that possible? The Bible tells us no. The Bible gives us one simple path to salvation, and that is looking unto Jesus. Really simple. But we struggle with it. And I want to use this time today to prepare us for Christmas worship, but to really prepare us for looking unto Jesus in everything, for everything, with everything, through everything. We're going to talk about all that. But I want you to know that you're not alone. You know, we talk about a fellow named Charles Spurgeon quite a bit. We use a lot of his quotes in the bulletin. He was a pastor back in the 1800s in England, and he struggled with this same question. You see, he grew up in a way where he was very cognizant. He knew about his sin. He knew he was a sinner. He tried to keep the law. He tried to keep the Ten Commandments. And he said, I can't even do that. As if that were an easy task, right? You know, he says, I can't even do that. We can't either. We're told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But Spurgeon was trying to keep those commandments. He was trying to work his way into salvation. And you know what he was because of that? He was a miserable young man. He was 15 years old, and he was a student and a teacher at a school in Essex, England, and he was just miserable. He was going from church to church to church. He was trying to find that one secret thing, that one secret piece of knowledge, or that one secret avenue of work that would make him feel like he was entitled to salvation, that would make him feel worthy of salvation. That wasn't working for him. I hope it doesn't work for you, because we never can. If we ever get that feeling that we're entitled to this or that we can do something to earn it, we've missed the point. We can't do that. So Spurgeon's changed. He said, you know, maybe it's not works. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just about my feelings. So he went through this feeling stage too. Well, how do you think, if works didn't work, how do you think the feeling stage worked for him? Not very well. It got even worse. So when he goes back to school in September of 1849 to teach, he is the most miserable 15-year-old person that you've ever met. He didn't feel like God loved him. He felt like he was a failure. He felt like he was a disaster. Felt like he couldn't do anything right. And everything he tried to do to work his way to get the right feeling wasn't working for him either. It didn't help. In fact, it made him feel worse because he realized everything I do is just more sin. I can't do this. So he had a plan. They had Christmas breaks back then too. And this year in particular, there was a bad disease that hit the school. So bad that they had to close the school. So Charles Spurgeon goes back home. December rolls into January. January, massive snowstorm hits London. And one Sunday morning, he's headed to this other church. He's still trying all different churches in London because he can't find one that'll fill that void. He can't find one that'll give him the work to do or make him feel good. He's headed to church, and this massive snowstorm hits. And he has to go to this little primitive Methodist church that's close to his house. That wasn't where he wanted to go. That wasn't where he was supposed to go that day. He was supposed to go to a church in Essex, but the school was closed. Then in his mind, he was supposed to go to this giant cathedral down the street, but he couldn't get there. God knew exactly where he was really supposed to go. So he walks in, and he sits down in the back. Obviously, the weather's bad, so there's about 10 people in there. He sits in the back under the gallery, which was the overhang in this little church, and sits there for a while. Service time starts. No pastor. Okay? Pastor can't get there either because of the weather. So one of the trusty deacons stands up. Skinny little dude stands up, walks up there, and opens his mouth, and Charles Spurgeon says, "My immediate reaction to him was, this is the stupidest man on the face of the planet." Okay? Now understand, Charles Spurgeon, mightily used of God, sitting in the back, and here comes this deacon up here, and the deacon preaches a less than 10-minute sermon. And I'm basically going to preach that sermon to you first this morning. The deacon said, look, I want you to turn to Isaiah 45:22. You can do that. We won't stand for this one. But Isaiah 45:22 was the entire text of this deacon's sermon. Isaiah 45:22, it says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." That was the deacon's text. And the deacon mispronounced a lot of the words in that thing, Spurgeon said. He said, this was going downhill. I thought about leaving. I wasn't going to do it. So I sat and listened. The man went on. He said, this is a very simple text. Spurgeon said, this was his sermon. Look. Now look and don't take a lot of pain. Spurgeon was experiencing pain. Y'all experience pain? Some of us think we have to have pain in order to be okay with God. That's not the way it is. God's mercy is extended to us because of Jesus' pain. Yes, sometimes we have pain in our life, but pain does not warrant our salvation. That's what Spurgeon thought. He said, it ain't even lifting your foot or lifting a little bitty finger to do something for God. Then he got really personal. He said, you know what? You don't even have to go to college to be able to look to Jesus. You can be the dumbest man on the face of the planet and look to Jesus. You can be the biggest fool and look to Jesus. You don't have to have 1,000 pounds to look to Jesus. Anybody can look to Jesus. Then he read the scripture again. Look to me and be saved. Look to me, I was killed. Look to me, I was raised for you. Look to me, I ascended into heaven for you. Look to me, I am seated at the right hand of the Father. Look to me. And that was his whole sermon. That wasn't even 5 minutes. And as he was closing, he looked back and he saw that little 15-year-old guy sitting in the back. He goes, young man, you look miserable. Have you looked to Jesus? Let that sink in. So my question to you is, have you guys looked to Jesus really in this way? We're going to see how Spurgeon learned to look to Jesus. But he said, young man, you look miserable. Have you looked to Jesus? Now some people would have gotten up and walked out. Some people would have been offended because this guy who couldn't speak proper English, said ain't 3 or 4 times, was challenging them to look to Jesus. But you know what Spurgeon said? He said, I looked. He said, I really looked for the first time. And when I looked, it was like the cloud lifted from my head. All the burden went away. All the pressure I was feeling went away. All the concerns I had were tied to Him. Everything was clean in an instant. I wanted to stand up. I was miserable when I walked in. I wanted to stand up and sing those hymns again because I had looked to Jesus for the first time in my life. So this was the day that Spurgeon says my religion became a relationship. Why? He said, I was ready to go out and do 50 things, and I realized I don't have to do anything except look. And I realized that anybody could look. Just like that deacon said. He says, I looked. Very clear in the Old Testament. It's very clear in the New. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Stand with me, if you will, for this one. This is our core scripture today. And this is the writer of Hebrews. He's reminding us that because we have all these characters of old, he's talking about Moses and Abraham and all these other people, we can add Spurgeon to that. We can add Dwight Moody to that. We can add all kinds of witnesses, people who've told us about Christ. He says, therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every burden, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And here's the key verse, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You can be seated. So the writer of Hebrews tells us the same thing that Isaiah told us, the same thing that moved Charles Spurgeon. He says, look unto Jesus. It is so simple, we want it to be more complicated. We want it to be works. We want it to be something we can get our hands into. We want to feel like we earned this. We want to feel like we deserved it. And the Bible says no. The Bible says this is a gift of God. It is unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited. We don't deserve it. If you really want what you deserve, let me tell you what that is. It is death. Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, how many of you want what you deserve? I don't think I'm going to get any hands on that one. And we don't want what we deserve. We think that we do sometimes. We think we do and, you know, we go out and we buy things. We want what we deserve there. But when salvation comes along, I want something I don't deserve, and that is God's grace. But how do I get that? The answer is simple. I look to Jesus. What does it mean to look to Jesus? Is it a passing glance? Is it thinking about Him every once in a while? No, it is giving our whole life to Jesus Christ. It is looking to Him and understanding that He is the answer to every question. He is the solution to every problem. He should be the basis for every decision. He should be the motivating factor of each and everything that we do in our lives. Not simply something we put on for an hour on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday nights. So I want to give you four things in your outline today. I want to focus on four things that it means to focus on Jesus, to look upon Jesus, to look to Jesus as all those scriptures say. So the first thing is we have to look to Jesus in everything. And what do I mean by that? Acts 17:28 says this, for in Him we live and move and have our being. So we need to look to Jesus in everything we do because in Him we move, we live, we have our being, we breathe. Do you think God is concerned about every single moment of your life? The answer is yes if you are a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you know what? He's still concerned about every single moment of your life. He wants you to become a child of God. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation through Jesus Christ. But to do that, we have to look to Jesus Christ. We have to get rid of all this clutter. We got to put those blinders on and think the only thing that's important in my life right now is me looking to Jesus Christ. It's not my feelings. It's not my works. It's not my donations. It's not my church membership. It's not my whatever you want to put in there. Nothing. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the day, if you have not been a child of God, this day needs to be the day that your religion becomes this relationship. You become a child of the living God. But we have to look at Him in everything. The Scripture tells us in Hebrews 4:16 that we are to look to Him to obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. So we look to Him at all times. You know, those times that we call good, those times we call bad, those times of trouble, those times of triumph, those times of life, we had birth, the times of death. We look to Him in every single thing. And we need to understand that He is the answer. When we look to Him in everything, you'll start to see Him in everything. This is pretty awesome. I just want you to think about Spurgeon again. Supposed to be in Essex County. Supposed to be at a church there under his plan. But God had a better one. Do you think that it was an accident that that snowstorm hit that day? No. Do you think it's an accident that the pastor couldn't get there that day? No. God had a divinely appointed message for that one man, maybe others, but that one little kid sitting in the back needed to hear three words. Look to Jesus. We talk about D.L. Moody. You know, there was a guy named Ed Kimball. Nobody's ever heard of Ed Kimball. Now, Moody's everybody's heard of. He was an international missionary and evangelist. Do you know why? Because this fellow named Ed Kimball, who was his Sunday school teacher, took the time to reach out to this problem child, would not respond to the gospel, wouldn't do anything, wouldn't come. So he would go and he would meet Moody where he worked as a shoe salesman. Kimball kept talking to Moody, and finally Moody understood the gospel. One man changed that because God had him appointed there. Kimball said to Moody, "You got to look to Jesus." Almost the same words. Look to Jesus. And that is the message to us. What is it that you're looking to for salvation, for security, for hope, for love, for peace? Whatever it is, the answer is look to Jesus. So not only do we look to Jesus in everything, we should look to Jesus, number two, for everything. So what do I mean there? Well, John 14:13 says that Jesus told us, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified." So we need to ask for anything that we believe is God's will in His name. We need to completely rely on Him for everything. You know? The Bible promises us in Philippians that God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Not all of our wants, not all of our greeds, not that, but all of our needs. So we need to rely on Jesus. And here's the thing. When you rely on Jesus, when you look to Him for everything and He provides, who gets the glory? He does. Well, I did the work, you know. I worked my job. Who gave you the job? Who gave you the income? Who gave you the abilities that you have? Who gave you all of the things that you need to earn a living? God did through His grace and through His mercy. So we need to understand that we are to look to Jesus for everything. Look to Him in everything and for everything. And when we do that, what we learn is we need to depend on Him. We need to really depend on Him. Not just say it. Not say I'm going to depend on Jesus and go do our own thing. We really need to look to Him for everything. Which leads us to the third point. We need to look to Him with everything. And you can say this, with everything we got. This means we're going to put it all into looking to Jesus. We're not just going to pay it lip service. We're not just going to do it on Sundays. We're not going to do it on Wednesdays. We're going to give it our all. It's not a passing glance. It's really sitting there meditating on Jesus Christ, thinking about who Jesus is, thinking about what Jesus can do in our lives. Did Spurgeon do that? Yes, he did. Spurgeon looked for the first time at age 15 sitting in that little primitive church. He looked to Jesus with everything he had. No more was he trying to fill in the gaps with works, with feelings, with all those false things. He looked to the truth. He looked to the truth of who Jesus was and what Jesus was able to do in his life. He stopped the hustle and bustle. He stopped searching and he looked to Jesus. You know, the Bible's full of stories like that where people have slowed down from their busy lives to look at Jesus, and God rewards that. The best one, well, I mean, not the best one, but one of them is Moses. You look at Exodus chapter 3, Moses is tending the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, who's the priest of Midian, and here's the way it goes. You know, he's up in the mountain tending the flock, and he says, you know, he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked. Step one. And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. So Moses is leading the sheep. Understand what's going on here. He's got his agenda. He knows where he's going. He knows where the sheep are supposed to go, and they're booking. Catches out of the side of his eye this burning bush. Glances over there. That's kind of odd. I will now turn aside. I'm going off of my path. I'm going to go over here and see this great sight, how the bush does not burn. And then here's what it says. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. God called to him when Moses took the time to simply look. But look with everything he had. Not thinking about the sheep, not thinking about dinner, not thinking about anything else. He turned aside from his routine, his life, and focused on God. That sound familiar? That's exactly what happened with Spurgeon. That's exactly what happened with D.L. Moody. That's exactly what needs to happen in each and every one of our lives. We need to turn away from the hustle, the bustle, all the stuff that we got going on, and look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus in everything, for everything, with all we got. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12, 1, that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's how much we need to look at Him with. That's how much we need to put into this relationship. Am I willing to put aside my life, to put aside my wishes, my wants, my will? Am I willing to give up all that stuff to have that relationship with Him? And I will only do that if I realize He is the only way that I will ever be satisfied, that I will ever be joyful, that I will ever be saved. If I think there's another way, I will never look solely to Jesus. And that leads me to the fourth one. There's one final one. We need to look to Jesus through everything. And I know everybody in here has had trying times. Peter had trying times. You think about the apostle. You know, Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows this morning. No, I'll never do that. I literally just cut off a soldier's ear for you. You know, come on, it's not going to, I can handle this. But boy, you get 600 people staring me down, Peter's brave. You get one little teenage girl sitting there going, I think you were with him. Peter's the biggest wimp there is. I don't even know him. You want to talk about feelings of failure? You want to talk about feelings of suffering? Peter knew. And here's what he told us in 1 Peter 5:10. He said, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look through Jesus Christ, and all the problems that you have will be perfected. They'll be completed. You will be strengthened. And then he said, here's the attitude you need to have while you're going through all this. You need to rejoice in 1 Peter 4:13, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So Peter tells us that we need to look to Jesus through everything, through thick and thin, through the tough times, through the hard times, through the good times. You know, sometimes it's easier to look to Jesus in the tough times, isn't it? Because we realize we don't have any other thing to look to. But we need to understand that Jesus is just as much there. He's just as much providing. He's just as much in control in the good times as He is in the bad. And He's just as much responsible for the blessings we have in those good times as He is responsible for taking us through the bad times. So this miserable little kid went into a church about 100, almost 200 years ago, and that simple message was, look to Jesus. That's my message to you today. And my question to you is, have you looked? You know, Spurgeon was confronted with all this, with the truth of the gospel, and the simple question was, have you ever looked? And here's the thing, he thought he had. He thought he'd been looking all of his life, but he'd been looking at the wrong thing. He'd been looking at works. He'd been looking at his feelings. He'd been looking at all these other things that we want to fill up our life with rather than Jesus. And that snowy day when he had no choice but to look to actually the true Jesus, his life was changed. That can happen today. If you've never looked to Jesus in that way and you're doing it today, God's calling you to do it. That's what the verse in Isaiah said, I will save. That's what God promised. You look to me, I will save. You don't have to lift a finger or a toe. It's not about works. What do? You give your life to Him. You say, I'm looking to you. I trust that you came to earth. You died for my sins as the Scripture promised. On the third day, you were raised again, as the Scripture promised, and now God has raised you and you're seated at His right hand. That's it. That is a simple message. It is the simple requirement of looking to Jesus Christ. If you're already a child of His, if that relationship is in your life, sometimes we get our glasses messed up, don't we? We don't have that focus like we used to, like when we were so newly converted. We don't keep our eyes on Jesus. If you're in that situation today, confess that as sin. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Look to Him in everything, for everything, with everything, and through everything. You cannot go wrong. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you this morning for the simplicity of your word, the simplicity of grace, how clear it is, Father. I love the story from Spurgeon's deacon. He says, you know, you can't mess it up. Even the dumbest man on earth could figure this out. Father, we have trouble sometimes. We want to make it so much more complicated than it is, but I pray that today you've stripped away any barriers to the simple belief that it takes, to the simple looking to Jesus Christ for salvation. Father, the whole purpose that you sent him was to save us from our sins and that you would be glorified. I pray that you work in each and every heart that's here, whether we be saved or whether we be unsaved at this point. Father, just show us that we need all to look to Jesus in each and everything for salvation and have your way this morning during our time of invitation. Lead us all to look holy and trustingly to Jesus. And this we pray in His name. Amen.